All right, welcome back to the Forfeit Fatherhood Podcast, a podcast for fathers by fathers, where we talk about the four pillars of fatherhood, which are faith, family, finance, and fitness. And if you've been listening, you probably have missed us for the last 2 months, actually. We've taken the last 8 weeks or so to really commit to this whole idea of work-life balance. So these next few episodes that you'll hear will be generally about work-life balance, or what I like to call work-life harmony. And it wouldn't make sense for me to come back and just talk to you by myself. I brought a guest along with me so that you guys get to hear from someone other than me. I know that gets stale sometimes. So my guest today is Cam Thompson. Cam, how you doing today, brother?
Great, sir. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm fantastic. So I'm excited to have you here. I'm excited to kind of hear a little bit about your fatherhood story. But before we get into that, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I grew up an only child. My parents divorced when I was 4 years old, and my dad raised me actually, which is kind of uncommon. But I grew up with my dad. I was still able to see my mom, every week due to the visitation stuff, but it was mostly my dad who raised me. And as I grew up, and as I had this lens of life through just being raised by a single father. But now I'm married. I have, three kids and one on the way. And actually, I just got out of the Navy just over a year ago or so. I spent 10 years in the Navy, and that's when we started having kids and dealing with a lot of deployments and time away from home. So I was able to get out of the Navy. I transitioned into a job that I'm pretty much gone for a week at a time. I'm still kind of working long distance, so I don't have a typical, 9 to 5 kind of setup. So that's really stretched me in a lot of ways, both with, growing up as a only child. Now I'm trying to manage work-life balance. I'm trying to manage a lot of, the sibling dynamics. Growing up with pretty much without a healthy marriage lifestyle, I'm trying to figure that out now as well. And I've been married just about 9 years now, and I think we've kind of come over that hill. We're starting to make some good progress with each other, and yeah, I was excited to share kind of the things that I've learned through my uncommon situations.
Yeah, you definitely have a unique outlook, and I'm excited to hear how you're navigating that. I know this is a fatherhood podcast, but I don't want to skip past that marriage part. You guys have been together for 9 years, and I think a lot of people think when you get married, like it's all fun and games, like you're married and everything is great. But it does take some time to like hit your stride and like figure out, who you two are in a marriage. And I think a lot of times kids complicate that. A lot of people get married right away and then have kids, and then that whole dynamic is weird because you're going from being a single person to a married person, but then also a father or a mother, and that complicates things a little bit. So I don't want to scoot past that. You're hitting your stride after year nine, and I'm sure it was happening along the way, but I just wanted to point that out, that it's for guys that are newlyweds or newly married and new fathers. It gets better, fellas. Just hold on tight.
Yeah, and it was a unique situation as well with us, because we got married, and then probably 6 months after we got married, my wife had a cancer scare
Oh,
with
wow.
her ovaries. So we went in, we did a she had a exploratory procedure done. Totally different topic, but she was healed. The imagery and everything showed tumors, and when the doctor went in, there were no tumors. They were gone. So that's like a miracle in and of itself. But we started our marriage with her, re recovering from this massive surgery, and then 2 months after that, we get pregnant. So
Wow.
we're newlyweds. We had only really had 6 months with each other before all this complication started. So we've had to like
Okay.
stretch that, getting to know each other and getting used to being married, with a lot of different things.
Yeah. All right, so how old is your oldest then?
Seven.
7. Okay. So you got a 7-year-old. At that time you're still in the Navy. And so what does life look like? Well, first of all, for those that aren't, there's a lot of guys that are listening that are obviously in the service, but for guys that aren't in the service, what is a typical day for you around that time?
Around that time, it was like a typical 9 to 5. Sometimes I would go in during the daytime. Sometimes I would go in to the nighttime, specifically for pilots. We live and die by the flight schedule. And the flight schedule doesn't typically come out until 4 or 5 o'clock the afternoon prior. So I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I have to wake up at 5 a.m. or if I have all morning and have to go fly until midnight, until the day prior, which is kind of difficult. But for the most part, we're always training and working up to do deployments. So through the military, unless you're on a shore tour, you're always counting down to when you're leaving for a long time. And that was difficult. After my first daughter was born, I had my 10, back then it was 10 days, but I had 10 days of paternity leave. And then on day 11, I was on a plane to Korea
Oh, wow.
for just over 6 months.
Wow. Yeah. So, whoa. that is definitely different than my experience. Like if you've heard, I left my job because I was having a kid, and you're having a kid and having to leave the country. What was that like? What's that? What, like, how do you manage that? How do you navigate that?
That was incredibly difficult. That set a mental health journey of mine in progress, because I started to base my worth on the time I was able to spend at home. And when I did not have that time, I felt like a failure. I felt like I was leaving my wife. I felt like I was leaving my newly born daughter, and I felt like I was abandoning them. And the amount that I was missing, the first 6 months of life are just, they're amazing with a baby. And I missed all that, and I was experiencing it through videos that I was getting sent on my phone. It was incredibly difficult. So I had
So,
to go through this. Sorry, go ahead.
no, please, please.
So I had to, it took several years, but I had to go through this process of forgiving myself, and believing God is creating me as I as a good father. He works through me to be a good father, and that my absence, whether it's deployments, after birth, or whether it's now the weeks that I leave for work, that God is providing my kids in my absence. And that was really, groundbreaking for me.
Yeah, and that's actually where I was going to go with it. I was going to ask you, how did you deal with that, or how did you overcome that, or are you still working through it? Because you mentioned it was the beginning of a mental health journey, and I think there's a reason why I'm going into this whole work life situation, is because it's one of the biggest things that guys come to me with, that they're struggling with, and it's more than just a, I want to be home. There's like this deep internal like struggle, it's like this battle over identity, over, who, like you said, self-worth a little bit. And so I'm really curious as to, so when you're experiencing that, what was your, so you had a bit of a breakthrough, but how did you get to the point where you knew you needed to do something else, or, like, how do you get to that point?
Really, for us, it was I became depressed. I was mentally checked out when I came home. I knew that I needed to be present for my family, but when I was home, I didn't want to face the disappointment in my family. So I mentally checked out. I, put a lot of effort and focus into my job and spent a lot of time at work, and then would feel guilty when I came home. And instead of facing that head on, I would withdraw and distract myself.
Yeah,
You know, and
I hear
it
that a
wasn't
lot.
until, it wasn't until my wife encouraged me. Not only did, we go through marriage counseling at that point, but she also encouraged me to go through some sort of, individual counseling myself. And that's where I was led to the forgiveness and the inner healing and the where my worth is coming from.
Yeah. You know what? That seems to be a common trend, is that guys kind of throw themselves into their work when they start to battle that, right? Because it's like the one area that you can semi control, right? And then also you don't want to get too or at least guys don't feel like they want to get too overly involved in what's going on at home if I can't really be there anyway, right? Like if I'm going to get fully involved, it's just going to make it worse for me. So I'll just go home and, you know, whatever's happening, I'm just going to go with the flow. But at work, I can go, you know, I'm going to do my thing at work and I'm just going to overdo providing. Like I'm just going to provide, 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 then go home and hopefully they're okay. And so as you're working through, you go and you know you get your you start working through therapy. What are some of the first steps that you start to take to kind of turn this around for yourself? And obviously, guys, if you're struggling with this and you know you're having depressive thoughts, you're feeling depressed, you should go get help. And so I'm not using Cam's experience to give you a therapy session, but I am curious, you know, maybe what are some of the first steps that you took to start working towards feeling better about it all.
The first step was pretty much admitting, realizing that it's beyond anything that I can just do myself. No amount of alone time, no amount of reading self-help books by myself, no amount of sitting in my car mindlessly scrolling social media is going to prepare me to re-engage. So once you realize that you can't do anything, or that you are ill-equipped to do something, you gotta go seek help, and you gotta, you know. It took me several times, several different therapists and several different counselors to find the right fit for someone who actually understood what I was going through and understood the needs that I had.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I think that that's part of it too, is guys will go and start to get help and not feel like this is working, right? And so then it's like, oh, well, this doesn't work. But it sounds like you were, you know, you were committed to the process, even if the person helping you conduct the process had to change.
Yeah,
Yeah.
for sure. And my wife was big in encouraging me to continue seeking, you know, others that could help.
Okay. And so when did you start that? So your oldest is 7. You know you're gone for the first 6 months. How long are you kind of navigating that before you do decide to go and you know get some encouragement, get some help?
It was probably about 3 years.
Okay.
The biggest revelation was we our middle daughter, she was born in 2018, so she's 5, about to be 6. And it was my complete lack of engagement with her. I just wasn't nearly as engaged through the pregnancy. I mean, I was also on a second deployment through the pregnancy, but when I came home, I wasn't engaged. I wasn't, you know, willing to help out. I was getting angry at the amount of stuff I had to do for the family. And it was that guilt staring me in the face, and I couldn't deal with it. So that's at that point, my wife had reached out to someone and said, "Hey."
Yeah, wives, I mean, they're a superpower. When you have the right woman in your life, man, they definitely help, you know, put you on path. You know, they're here to be a helpmeet, but sometimes they actually help you meet the help. And whether you want to or not, right? Like, cause we'll go kicking and screaming, or we'll be like, yeah, all right, whatever, just to get you to stop nagging me, I'm gonna go. And then before you know it, you're like, all right, this is actually working. I like this stuff. And then I think too, you start to realize that like how fulfilling life could actually be when you
Oh, yeah.
are enjoying both parts of it, right? When you're, you know, doing what you need to do in your career, but you're also fulfilled at home. Life is so much sweeter. Like the lights are brighter. You know what I mean? So you start working on yourself and improving yourself. And that's 2018 when it started.
Yeah, around there.
Okay. Are you still in therapy now?
No, not currently.
Okay. All right. So you go to therapy, you start working on yourself, you start to find a better balance, more harmony in work and life. Were there any strategies that you kind of employed to start to feel a little better about it? Or was it just being able to go and express yourself?
Going and expressing myself and realizing that I wasn't the only one dealing with this stuff. I wasn't the only, you know, father who felt disconnected to his kids for reasons beyond his control. Once I realized that there were other guys who were feeling the same thing, you know, that made me feel a lot less hopeless. You know, it made me feel like there was hope. There was some sort of, you know, better side to look forward to. And then, yeah, it was, honestly, it was a lot of forgiveness. It was forgiveness of myself, forgiveness of, you know, the ways that my upbringing had, you know, affected me, and the way that my parents had hurt me, forgiveness, you know, not carrying anger, not carrying resentment or feeling like I'm owed something, but being able to, yeah, forgive, right? Just to say you're sorry and then move on was huge for me.
Yeah. So you're in the military for another 4 years after that, or at that point. So you're still on that same schedule of not necessarily knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, but then also preparing to be away for some time. That alone has got to be stressful. Let me just say that. Like, if I, like, cause right now I pretty much every Sunday, I pretty much plan out my schedule, like everything on my calendar. Like, I do a time diary, and I put everything on the calendar, right? So I know exactly what I'm going to do every day, which helps me mentally really focus on each thing individually. Like, everything gets its own dedicated time. I can't imagine right now somebody being like, well, the schedule's completely blank until about 5 p.m. and then you're going to just figure it out after that. That would drive me insane right now. But I mean, I'm assuming you just get used to that life. How are things different now being out of the military?
Well, it's a lot more structured. So I work 7 days of 12-hour shifts, and then I have a 7-day weekend. And you can plan where you're going to be for holidays. You can plan where you're going to be for birthdays. You know, you have some flexibility for picking up shifts and requesting off for important events. But yeah, you can plan, you know, so far in advance. And that was just so bizarre to me, being able to know what your week's going to look like, you know, a month or two ahead of time.
Yeah. So what is it that you're doing now? I think you mentioned it to me, but the fellas are probably wondering.
Yeah. So I'm an EMS pilot in North Carolina.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I was just out in North Carolina over Thanksgiving break. It's, it was beautiful out there. It was my first time ever going, and we were in Raleigh, Durham area. I think we stayed in Cary. I have a cousin that lives in Cary. So that was, it's nice out there, man. I'd never been, but it's definitely, somewhere we would go back. Me and my wife were talking about, we got to visit a little bit more often, and maybe when it's warmer, because it was cold and raining, but it was still a really beautiful part of the country.
Yeah, I love flying out there. It's, you know, you get all four seasons, and it's great.
Yeah. Are you from that area?
No, I grew up in Tampa, Florida. So, okay. I grew up with hot, and then winter was 60 degrees for a couple of days, and then it's back to hot. So I appreciate being close to mountains, you know, being around the occasional snow. You know, I find myself really enjoying that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in Southern California, and it's 70 right now, or it'll be 70 today. It was like 45 this morning. It's just weird. You have to wear several layers of clothes and gradually take them off as the day goes on. But we had I think it might've been 2018 or 2019. Christmas Day, it was 90 degrees. So we don't get any real winter. The best we can get is rain. And if we're, you know, if you live where I live, you can get to the snow in about an hour or so. So that's cool. But it was nice to see the leaves changing and things like that out there. It was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this area.
What's up, fellas? Hey, are you ready to supercharge your journey to becoming the best version of yourself? Introducing the Fatherhood Roadmap, the ultimate guide for every man. Uncover the secrets to success in 10 must-do principles. Focus your energy, guard your time, train your mind and body, think for yourself, curate your friends and environment, keep your promises, stay cheerful and constructive, and upgrade the world. Now, I know you're not going to remember all of those, and that's why it's in the book. You got to go ahead and grab it. Elevate your game, redefine your path, and embrace the power of positive change. Okay, we're going to get back to the podcast, but really quickly, I just wanted to say something. I've got something incredible that I want to share with you, and it's not just a program, it's a journey. The Present Provider Bootcamp. Picture this. Engaging video sessions, practical worksheets, and a community led by yours truly. It's your roadmap to excel in both your career and your family life. If you're ready to redefine your work balance, head on over to the link below and join the Present Provider Bootcamp today. Let's thrive together.
Nice. So I sidetracked this. Let's get back. So on those 7 days where you are working though, so you're working a 12-hour shift, and then you have, you know, basically 8 hours to sleep. You don't obviously sleep the whole 8 hours. So on those days, how are you, you know, still managing to get some family time in, or are you getting family time in? I guess that's probably a better question.
Yeah. So I don't come home every night because, you know, I have to sleep for 8 hours and then, you know, that only gives me 4 extra hours to get a workout in, to eat and all that kind of stuff. So really it's, you know, I come home occasionally. If the weather's bad and I'm not flying at night or something, I'll get off shift and come home. But otherwise I'm there and I'm in work mode for 7 days. And then I come home and I'm in home mode for 7 days. And that's been a huge blessing to me. Is the hardest part was finishing up a stressful day at work, having a 10-minute commute to come home, and then I'm launched into the chaos of dinner time with 3 kids. And that was very overwhelming. So now I'm, you know, work mode. I got a 2-hour commute back home to transition myself. And then I, you know, I'm in dad and husband mode for another week, which is great.
Yeah. That sounds like a really, really cool, you know, once you, obviously it takes some adjustment for anybody, but once you get into it, you can almost, like I talk about my schedule, mine's is shorter. It's like hours or 2 hour, you know, 2 hour blocks. But you have some really dedicated time where there aren't any distractions and you aren't like trying to do several things at once. Like that coming home from work, the 10-minute commute, and then diving into dad mode is tough, right? It's tough for anybody. And I think that's one of the things too that forces guys to kind of disconnect, because then you start weighing family time with quote unquote time for yourself. And it's like, I don't get any time for me. Like I need to unload. And so then you start to resent family time. And I think, if you can, like you talked about your 2-hour commute, you get to kind of decompress. We got to find that time as well in our schedules and in our lives to disconnect a little bit from everything and kind of check in with ourselves. And then we can go back to super dad or, you know, or to whatever our career or our job is.
Yeah, it so was. You, sorry, go for it. I was in 2020, I signed up to run a marathon just so that I would have these very long training runs to go on. I had an excuse to like get away and get quiet for an hour or two every couple of days. And that was, you know, it helped, but I needed a reason to do it.
Yo, I appreciate you taking the time. I'm not running any marathons, but I do appreciate you setting yourself up to make sure that you have that time, right? Because a lot of us will say we're going to take the time, or a lot of us will say out loud or say internally that we need the time. But we don't do anything to actually get the time, right? We complain about it, but we don't take any action. And I would say, because I don't like, I'm a sprinter. I don't like to run long distances. So I would never put a marathon on my schedule to get that time, but I do appreciate the idea, and that's a really good thing. I think even if it's a hobby, right? Because some people run for hobby. Even if you have a hobby that you put on your schedule that you're making sure that you're taking time for, I think it pays huge dividends. Not only like in your particular instance, there's some cardiovascular, there's some physical fitness, there's some mental clarity that you're getting while you're out on the road. Running, but I think we all have to have some kind of outlet where we can blow off steam, as they used to say, and kind of get like you say, get quiet and spend time with yourself. I think that enriches our ability to be an employee or a boss. It also enriches our ability to be a husband and a father, because we're a purer version of ourselves. We're not so clouded with all the other stuff that life comes with.
Yeah. Now, I did do that with the, you know, I talked with my wife about it, and we both agreed that that was a good goal for me to achieve. And she understood that it was going to be a little bit more time for me away from home, but she was on board with that. So I communicated that with her. And I think that's important to make sure that you have the family agreement before you take on something like that.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And I think a lot of things, like, your family is going to be affected, right? Like, and I think that's the tough part about the whole work-life balance thing is like, we talk about trying to balance the two things, but your work affects your life. There's no way around it, right? Like, there's only so many hours in the day, and those hours bleed. So you can't separate the two, and taking time for yourself kind of works into that too. So you have to negotiate with the other people involved, right? Talking to your wife, and letting her know, hey, I'm, you know, or having that conversation and figuring out, like, hey, I'm going to spend a little bit more time, allows her to, you know, maybe plan out her day and her schedule a little bit differently. And then, you know how you're going to feel. And so you're going to be, you know, maybe able to say, you know, after this 2-hour run, I don't know what I'm going to be. I'm going to be wiped out. Like, I don't know how useful I'm going to be, but when I get back, I'm going to do everything that I can to whatever level of ability I have left. And she can expect that, as opposed to expecting you to be coming in, you know, guns blazing, wrestling kids and you know, attacking the to-do list and not like, yeah, that's not going to happen. I'm definitely not going up on the roof to put up Christmas lights today. I ran for 2 hours. Like, I'm not climbing any ladders today, you know. But I think that understanding helps with the marriage part of it, which is huge. And parenting in general, I think, and you talked about it a little bit, like, that relationship between your parents has a huge impact on the kids, right? Whether you see it in the moment or not, like, the way your kids see you interact with your wife is huge for them. Yes. Right? Especially having daughters, right? Because they're seeing how a man treats a woman, or how a man shows up in a relationship, or, you know, they're getting that experience. And I think a lot of times we think that there's some separation between husband and wife and mom and dad, but there isn't. There's that crossover for kids. They don't know the difference until they get older. Like, for kids, everything is all connected. And if we don't take care of it that way, and we don't, you know, love on that other person and care on that other person, care for that other person, then they're like, dang, mom doesn't like dad. Dad doesn't like mom. Like, dad's. I love mom. Dad doesn't like mom. Something's wrong with dad. All right. So you got a third one on the way? No, you got you got a fourth one on the way.
We have a fourth one on the way. So we have a 3-year-old son as well. So a seven and 5-year-old, and then a 3-year-old son, which has been a blast.
I was gonna say, how was the difference between having the girls and then having your son?
So the oldest girl, she's kind of our honorary firstborn son, because she's so physical. She's so, you know, she's just like all out there. She has no problems digging in dirt and climbing on. Like, she's an active little girl. So we already kind of had experience with that. But the son, he just takes it to a whole nother level.
That's what I hear, man. I got two girls, and they, you know, they want to wrestle, they want to play, they want to, you know, they play sports. And so they're a little physical, but they're super girly at the same time. And all my friends with boys, and they come over to the house, it's like, yo, can you tie him up? Like, he's climbing all on my couch. Like, yeah, I mean, we don't stand on the couch, man. Get down. Like, climbing up the stairs and sliding down backwards. I'm like, yo, can you get your son?
Yep, he is. Yeah, he is he's always climbing, getting into stuff, destroying stuff. It's easy to get angry with them, you know, in the moment, but you realize that he's just a boy trying to do boy stuff, and yeah, and he just laughs, you know.
Yeah. So baby number four, do you know boy or girl yet?
We don't.
No. Nope. Are you guys going to find out, or are you like just wait until
Yeah, we're waiting.
Oh man, just a surprise baby.
Yeah.
Did you do that with the other three?
We did that with our son.
Okay.
And when my wife explained it, she explained it as she wants this like grand reveal at the end of the labor process to get her through things.
Okay.
So I wanted to find out. That was my concession to her, was that she gets to find out whether it's a boy or girl to get her through the labor.
Okay. I like that though. Yeah. I think that's fun, especially if you've already got kids. Like if it's your first one, I would be like, oh, right. But if you got a couple already, it's like, all right, let's see what happens. Right. And I think that's a great moment for both of you, is to meet that child for the first time as that child. I think,
right.
I know for us, for sure, when our girls, like we found out early and we're planning for a girl and we're giving them names and we're, you know what I mean? Like we're already treating them like they're here before they're here. You guys get like a full blown first eye contact, like all of that happens for the first time. And there's no preconceived expectation for who that kid's going to be. They get to be themselves from day one. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah, and when our son was born, we didn't know he was a boy. We just, we waited for him as well. And when he came out and he was a boy, my son, like the amount of excitement was beyond anything I had ever experienced.
Yeah, yeah. So when is the baby due?
Middle of January. So we're in the final stretch.
Yeah. Oh man, it's like a late Christmas present.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. All right. That's really cool, man. So four kids. Are you guys done after four? Or are we trying to get a whole basketball team? What are we doing?
No, we're stopping at four. We're going to do half of a hockey line here. And
there we go.
Call it at four. It's.
That's cool. That's cool.
It's time to move to a different phase of life.
Yeah. So being I'm an only child. Well, I'm kind of an only child. I have stepsisters, but we never lived together. So I was the only child in my house. How are you, like you mentioned a little bit, but navigating like the sibling stuff? Because I know with my daughters, because I have sisters. I have two sisters. So I use my two sisters as an example for what I expect from my two daughters, or what I don't expect, I should say, because my two sisters are at odds about 50% of the time. But like for you raising siblings, being an only child, do you find any struggles with that?
Yeah, I have no idea how the dynamics should look. And when something is out of the ordinary, like I've heard fighting is normal and the, calling each other names and hitting each other, that's just like standard sibling dynamic. But for me, it was like, why do you hate your sibling so much? Like we want you guys to be friends. Why can't you be friends? And my wife, is one of six. So she has lots of experience with that. And I look to her a lot to manage the sibling relationships, just because it's so foreign to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine was like, I always tell my girls, or I try to tell my girls, and this is something I tell my sisters, is like, at the end of the day, you two are the only, like, mommy and daddy are gone, it's just going to be you two together. So like, you've got to depend on each other. So all the bickering and back and forth stuff. And they really just started doing that. Now that my oldest is a middle schooler, she's got like a little bit of an attitude now. So now they get into like little arguments. And then after they're finished, I'm like, okay, all right. So now, who won? Like who won this whole argument? Like what happened? Because you guys went back and forth for like 5 or 6 minutes, just saying the same thing back and forth to each other. But you guys are both mad. Like nobody walked away from this happy. So what are we doing? And then they get mad at me. Like, because I'm the voice of reason. Like what? I never had any issue with my sisters. I don't think we ever argued. I think we've only argued as adults. And that was just about something about our parents, but I don't think we ever argued as kids. We always had fun together. And I'm like, I know that's not realistic And it's probably just because I didn't spend all my time with them. Like if we were together every day, we probably for sure would have argued. But I want for my daughters like to have that long lasting relationship. And so I'm like, I'm always confused. Like, why are you wasting time arguing? Like you literally have your best friend that lives with you. Like you want to go outside and play catch, you can go outside and play catch. I had to go and like knock on doors and hope somebody was home. Like if I want to play basketball, I'm playing by myself. Like, you know, you guys have built in friends. Like what is the problem?
Right.
Yeah.
So, something else that I learned to do was, you know, each kid is different and they receive love differently and they, you know, express love differently. So when I was intentional with, you know, individually addressing each kid in their own individual way, that really helped a lot, with, you know, particularly with my bond with them was understanding that each of them are different. So you got to show them love differently.
Yeah. Do you take any like specific, just kind of staying on that, do you take any specific like one-on-one time where you just do something with just one of them? Like maybe you and your older daughter go do something together that you two are interested in separate from the other two?
You ready for the roadmap to greatness? Head over to www.forfeitfatherhood.com and grab your copy today.
I could be better with being more intentional with that, but it's an opportunity thing right now. You know, it's, hey, I need to run up to the grocery store real quick. Who wants to come with me? And then I pick only one and then we have a little bit of intentional time. But I do intend to, you know, do more one-on-one dates, particularly with my daughters. I want to take them out on dates and make sure I'm, you know, treating them well and showing them how they should be treated. You know, I want to go out with my son and do manly stuff, do stuff outside and do, you know, cool stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just the phase we're in right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's no rush to it. I was just wondering because it's something that I started doing because I have two girls and they're 2 years apart, but they act like they're the same age. We do a lot of stuff with them. Like they both play the same sports and they play the same instruments and they, for the longest time, went to the same school. So pretty much everything, like my mom has this thing where she can't buy one of them a gift without the other. So like they're both getting gifts on each other's birthdays. And it's like, they're two separate people though. And so I've been trying to make sure that I get individual time with them, even though they like the same things, like just individually with you doing that thing. Right. As opposed to, I know you guys both want to go to whatever favorite restaurant, but I'm only taking one of you and it's not personal, but it's her day, you know, and we're just going to go spend time together and do whatever it is she likes. I think that is definitely really, really helpful, especially as my girls get older. Like I said, I have a middle schooler, so I really got to, you know, make sure that connection is strong because she's getting introduced to the world more and more every day. She's clawing at trying to get a phone. And I know that's going to mean she's going to try to get on social media, and all of her friends have had phones since like third or fourth grade. So I've been fighting this battle for some time, but she's becoming more and more convincing every day. And so I got to make sure that, it, you know, when that does happen, that our relationship is strong. And so that if something comes up or anything happens, she's, you know, willing to talk to me about it and I can be there and be supportive and be the dad that I want to be. So you got some time, man, no rush into it, but it's definitely something that I think is helpful for all of us to try to take part in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The biggest, you know, I want my kids to grow up knowing like their worth and their love.
Mm-hmm.
You better go back to bed. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
I want to say hi for him.
Go back to bed. Okay. All right.
That's all right. Hey, it's a fatherhood podcast. It wouldn't be right if a kid didn't show up. All right. Is it nap time, you said?
Yeah, for the youngest one. He'd...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, and he's like, it's amazing how kids during nap time, they become like philosophers. Or hey, they've got all this great stuff to tell you, or they're, you know, they've never, they don't want any water all day, but when it's time to go to bed, they're like, oh, I'm so thirsty, I'm so hungry. I'm like, hey, dude, you've been eating and drinking all day. Like, you go to sleep.
Yep, they need that specific cup that's in the kitchen, and they need the specific water that's from this sink. And yeah, it's.
Yeah. they're amazing, man. That makes it all worth it though, because someday they're not going to want to do that stuff, right? They're, you know, they're gonna lock the door, close the door, and go to sleep on their own without you. So we gotta drink in all the moments.
Yep, and you're gonna miss the days of negotiating for bedtime, and yeah.
Oh man. All right, so I do have a couple more questions for you, and before we wrap it up, and I know you're a busy dad, right? We're all busy dads, so I know you got some things to go do. This is a fatherhood podcast, and obviously this is probably one of the most important things that I think we all have to discover for ourselves. And I've asked this question a lot, and I've gotten a lot of different answers. And it's probably because fatherhood is bigger than one word. But I do want to know, what's fatherhood mean to you?
So fatherhood, it's, you know, you are the example that your kids are going to be looking up to. So fatherhood, you are the man that your girls are going to be looking for in a husband when they grow up. You are the man that your son is going to be, you know, basing his identity off of, and what manhood looks like to him. So showing them how you treat your wife, how you treat them, how you handle conflict, how you handle hard situations, right? That will dictate how they grow up and what they look for as adults. So setting them up for success and building this image of what a godly man looks like, what a good father looks like, what a, you know, wise role model looks like, for your kids is what I think it is.
Yeah. I can't argue with any of that, man. It's definitely being that role model, being an example, being the ideal man, right? This is your opportunity, right? If no other opportunity, this is your opportunity to be the shining example, the knight in shining armor and all that stuff too. I had a second question for you, and it's actually a two-part question. So you have the floor right now. We're on the podcast, but right now it's your podcast, and you get to share with the fellas who are listening. If you had one thing that you wanted them all to know, what would that be?
Be aware of your where your identity is coming from. Like, where is your worth coming from, and where is your identity coming from? If you are putting all of your effort into work, you know, for me, like, it was really common among Navy pilots to have that as the identity. That's where people get their worth from. That's the pride people take in themselves, is I am a Navy pilot. But they would go home and they would be a Navy pilot at home, and that doesn't, you know, that doesn't translate well. So knowing where your identity is, whether it's, you know, faith-based, whether it's you're a son of God, you're a mentor that God works through, or you're a husband, or you're a, you know, father, that's where you're going to put your effort. That's where you're going to focus on being the best you can be. In my opinion, it's all about, where do you find your worth, and what do you identify as? Are you know, whatever your job title is, or are you a father? Are you a husband? You know, and that will dictate where you, like I said, put your emphasis towards, constantly try to improve in, and base all of your life decisions off of.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Okay. So that was a pretty good episode, man. Let's say you get a second time to come on. This one though, it's a little different. Not everybody's gonna get to hear it. Actually, it's gonna come out end of January, so four people get to hear it.
Okay.
And those are your kids. What do you want them to hear?
So obviously the big thing, like, I love my kids. I want to be there for my kids. Everything I do in life is for my family. So like, I focus on working out a lot, but my workouts are based on longevity. My big workouts are based on being around for my kids, picking up my grandkids, right? Being able to stay strong for them, being able to like chase them around the yard and not have to, you know, take a moment to rest. Like I base all of that. I base my career. There's been a, I don't know if there's a shift or if it's just the people who I'm among, but it seems like there's been a shift in fathers and guys where they're giving up their jobs, they're giving up their careers to spend more time at home. Mm-hmm. And that encourages me. That I love that, because that shows their kids that their children are the legacy they want to leave. Mm-hmm. So if I tell my kids anything, it's that like I'm trying to do everything in life to set them up for a successful life and a loving environment.
Well, I hope they hear that, right? And I'm sure you're, and not only do I hope to hear that, but I can tell that you're living your life in a way that they're going to feel that, right? That they're going to experience that, and they're going to know that dad did it all for us. And what better reason to do it, right? What better reason than your own kids to do all the things that we were going to do, right? Like you got to work to eat. You got, you know, you should be working out to stay fit for yourself, but that motivation of doing it for your family, of doing it for your kids, it really just pushes you over the top. And it makes, they say when you have a why, it makes any what possible. And I think kids and family are the best why.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Cam, I appreciate you taking the time to share with us. I appreciate you, fitting us into your schedule. And I look forward to talking to you soon, brother.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, Rod, you're doing a great job. I love the content you're posting on your pages. It's encouraging to a lot of men. It was encouraging to me to see all this stuff come up. So you're doing a great job. Fill those social media feeds up with this kind of content is what we need. We don't need that doom scrolling stuff. We need encouraging stuff for guys to, you know, to see other men doing the thing. And I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, man. I'm just trying to be a willing vessel. Just trying to shed light on something I think is super important. Like I said, fatherhood, I feel like is my purpose. Like I was born to be a father to my children. And when you love something as much as I love being a father to my kids, you share it with the world. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Well, you're doing great.
All right. Thank you, man. All right, bro. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
All right.